Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
Tonight I want to talk to you guys who've been doing this new series, this new you series, talking about God creating the new you, that brand new you, that he didn't just remake something, he didn't just make a better version of you, but he created something brand new, something that was never created before. This is the masterpiece that Ephesians 2 talks about, that he's created in us, that when you believe in Christ, that he recreates something that has never existed before, and that's so unique and so special, and honestly something to be really excited about, and I love that. And so in this we've been kind of talking through in 3D, our young adults, we've been talking about, what does it look like when heaven comes to earth and what does it look like? And so we've been kind of doing this similar series of what does that look like when God's kingdom invades our life, when we start living out and walking out the kingdom of God. And so as we've been talking about this, God just laid this message on my heart and I've shared it with our young adults and I felt, man, this is so the word for tonight for y'all. So my challenge for you, my encouragement is that you would lean in with expectation tonight. Is that tonight that you'd say, hey, like, I know that I'm here for a reason. I have purpose. I'm here with purpose. I'm here to receive something from the Lord. And I believe that he has something for you. But how many of y'all know that when we respond with faith, that's when God's able to do something in our life, right? The word can go out, but that has a lot to do with the listener. The sower sows the word, but the person who's listening to that word, there's a responsibility on the other end. So together, as we come together tonight and we listen to the word of God, as the word of God goes out, as you lean in with expectation, I believe here that you will leave from this place with something so fresh that God's going to do in your heart tonight. I believe that. You believe that? Amen. Come on, somebody. We can talk a little bit tonight. We'll have some fun. Awesome. So Matthew 6, we can turn to Matthew 6 tonight. Apparently that is the chapter to be in from our offering message. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. Tonight I want to talk to you about overcoming temptation in the new you. I'm talking about the new you. Overcoming temptation. In Matthew 6, verse 13, I read out of the NLT. We can put it on the screen for you. Says, short and sweet, and don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is Jesus praying, says, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. And so what he's talking about here is he's going through the Lord's Prayer. He's sharing with his disciples the priorities of the Father. When he begins to read this passage, when he begins to pray, as we're reading this passage, he's teaching his disciples, here are the priorities of the Father. I'm reflecting through this prayer what God holds dearest. So he starts to talk about, we want you to engage God as a father. This is how he wants to be revealed to you as a father, as a good dad. All throughout scripture, this is what we see. He moves on that your kingdom come, your will be done, that your name would be kept holy, that provision would be made for us. I love what Pastor Donnie said tonight about provision and blessing and God blessing us, that is something that Jesus prayed himself, is that God give us provision in our life so that we can be a blessing to other people. He prays, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. And so he talks, forgive us the sins that we have in our past. Forgive us of our past. Create us anew. Make us new creations in Christ. Forgive us for what we've done. But then also he prays, don't just forgive us for past sins, but give us the strength and the ability to withstand and to resist new sins that would try to come against us. This temptation or sin that knocks on the door in our life. And so as we're talking about the new you in your life, I think it's imperative. It's so important for us to understand as young adults that God doesn't call us to struggle in life, that he calls us to live in victory, to be more than conquerors, that we see this all throughout scripture. This is to be a reality in our life. And I think sometimes we get into certain circles or we just kind of begin to accept that, you know, there's just certain sins I'm going to struggle with my whole life. Right? Whether it's the culture we live in or whatever that looks like, but for some reason, this thought creeps in. Maybe it's because of a hopelessness, because you've tried to overcome temptation. There's particular areas that you feel like you just haven't been succeeding in. And as a result, you just kind of accept, this is just my lot in life. This is an area I'm always going to struggle with. And for somewhere in between, we begin to accept that lie. What I love what Pastor Dara was talking about tonight is that we believe that lie of the enemy. And as a result, it keeps us in bondage. And so tonight, I think it's just really, even to start off tonight, that you would have faith that God is wanting a new you to live in freedom. That the new you, you are made to live in freedom in your life. And so tonight we're going to talk about what that means and what Jesus is talking about as he's asking us and saying, pray that you would overcome temptation, that God would rescue you from evil. So we'll talk about that. So let's pray and we'll jump into the rest. So Father, we say that we love you tonight. Father, we ask that you would meet us in this place, Lord. We thank you that even through our time of worship, Lord, that you've just invaded, Lord, this place, this environment and atmosphere. And God, we just say that, Lord, that you have your way tonight, that Jesus be lifted high. Lord, tonight we just say that we are hungry and we are thirsty for you. That Jesus, we want to know you more. That tonight, Lord, that as we come around your word, Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes that see and ears that hear by the Holy Spirit. God, no matter what we walked in here with tonight, whether it was bad reports or just a heavy day, or we've been walking through a season of depression or whatever that is, God, tonight I just pray, Lord, that you would bring freedom and deliverance into our lives. God, I pray that we would walk out of here differently than what we walked in with. Lord, that as we behold you, Jesus, that Holy Spirit, you would make us look more like Jesus. And tonight, Lord, I just ask that by your Holy Spirit that you would use me as a vessel tonight. Lord, I pray that in my weakness, you would be strong. And Lord, tonight I just pray, Lord, that we would have an expectation, Lord, to encounter you in a fresh and a new way. God, I thank you that you would show us, Lord, give us the revelation of the new us, Lord, that you've recreated, Lord, that you have made us to be. And tonight, Lord, I pray as we talk about overcoming temptation, Lord, that you would give us revelation, knowledge, understanding. God, that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we would know what to do and how to do it. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the helper. So tonight we give this service to you and we say that we are hungry to hear from you. So Father, visit each of us uniquely. Speak to us, Lord, in our situation, in our season, our circumstances. And we say, you be glorified in this place tonight, Jesus. We say that we love you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. How many of y'all, we're gonna interact a little bit tonight. How many of y'all have had some good intentions in your life? Like you've had some good intentions, right? Immediately, right? Some of you are like, I've had some good intentions. And whenever, it's funny to me, because whenever somebody asks you about good intentions, you almost know where they're going with the conversation. It's like you had good intentions, but you failed, right? Like you had good intentions and it didn't work out. And this, I'm that guy, right? We're all that person, I think, in some way or another. And it's funny for me, because I've recently, right, in the last like month or two, I've been talking to my wife about these really good intentions that I have. And I don't know why. It's always more laying in bed. I kind of just like lean over and I'm like, hey, Natalie, I'm going to get in great shape. And she kind of like looks over and she's like, oh, that's awesome. That's so good. You know, I'm going to encourage you with this. Some of you are laughing at me right now. It's awesome. And I was like, I'm going to start eating really healthy. Like I'm going to eat, no sugar, no carbs. I mean, right now, starting tomorrow, 8 days a week, I am going to eat clean. It's going to be good, right? So I'm going to be like every single day, I'm going to eat good. I had really, really, really good intentions, right? And so the crazy thing is that the next day I get to work and I'll get to a class and I'm teaching a class and then I get over here and I get over there and my day starts rolling and I kind of start good. You know, I get some oatmeal and blueberries or whatever I'm going to start with. Got to start with my coffee. Praise God. No Dunkin' Donuts. I settle for Starbucks, but that's cool. And some of y'all baristas at Starbucks, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm so sorry. I will visit your Starbucks, support you. And so, I had these really, really good intentions, right? No sugar, no carbs. I'm like, I'm dreaming big, right? So I'm a big carb fan. I love carbs. I don't know what it is. I just, can I get an amen, right? You just love some good carbs, some good spaghetti, some good pizza, some whatever it is. Come on, Jesus. And I just love it. I don't know what it is. So I had such good intentions though. I'm like, I'm losing 30 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put on 30 pounds of muscle. It's going to look awesome. It's going to be great. My wife encourages me. But I get to work the next day and I realize that I didn't really prepare for the good intentions that I had. You know, I was like, I'm going to eat good and whatever. But then I realized like there was no meal prep, right? Sunday afternoon, I did not meal prep. I did not cook chicken. I did not make asparagus. I watched a basketball game. I watched a football game. I went to work on Monday morning. I get to lunch and I realize that I am starving, right? And I'm like, what do I do, right? So I had good intentions, but because I wasn't prepared in the moment, I completely failed to follow through with my good intentions, all right? So I get to work. I'm there. I'm like, all right, let's go to Chick-fil-A. Come on, let's just do this, right? So I go and I eat my chicken and carbs and sugar, get my lemonade, because lemonade at Chick-fil-A is amazing. And come on, we got a lot of believers in the house today. I love it. And so, right, that's just my experience, right? But I had good intentions, but I didn't prepare. Love it. And so, right, that's just my experience, right? But I had good intentions, but I didn't prepare. So because I didn't prepare, I had failed to follow through. And then it was the same thing with working out. I lean over again on my wife. I'm like, Nat, I'm just gonna start going to the gym 8 days a week, going to the gym, right? Like I'm that pumped about it. I'm adding extra days to the week just to go to the gym. And it's good intentions, right? Like, I want to do this. I think it's healthy. It's what I should be doing. And I lean over. I've got these great intentions, in fact, right? And so I lean over. And next thing I know, though, the schedule gets a little bit busy. My wife wakes up at 5:30 in the morning to go to a class at the gym. And I'm like, you must be Jesus. Like, how do you do that, right? Like, I can't do that. So I'm like, hey, I'll just go at 5:00. And 5:00 rolls around. And I'm like, listen, somebody needs my help. I got to meet with this guy. I can't go to the gym. And I will find excuses every single moment. And I'm just like, no, I got to meet with him. And I got to do this. And I'm really, really busy. And for some reason, I just find, right? But here's what I realized. Kind of the same thing is I have really good intentions to get to the gym. There's been moments I've gone into the gym and I've stood in the lobby and I've turned right around and walked right back out. I don't even know why. I'm just like, nope. I'm like, I look at certain machines. I'm like, that looks like sin. That looks evil. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I don't even know what I'm going to do here. And I have good intentions, but then I walk out of the gym. And next thing I know, right? And here's what I've realized. I've set no alarms. I've made no schedule. I don't have a workout buddy. Like, I've got no accountability. And I've realized for this, it's the same thing, right? Some of y'all, this dude works out right here. Look, I just saw you scratch your side and your biceps, or just, you almost ripped your shirt. And, Do you go to the gym? No? You're born with those? Praise God, bro. All right, well, wait till you're 30. Just kidding. So this happens, right? So you've got good intentions. It's all great. But I realized that because I didn't prepare myself, that my good intentions, they fell through. Right? I fell through, right? And I've talked to so many different guys who, like, they get these huge, awesome, these aspirations, these good intentions. You're like, I'm going to take her to the ballet, right? I'm going to take her to Cinderella. I'm going to do whatever. And I'll be like, hey, how did your date night go? And he's like, oh, bro, we didn't go. We didn't do it, man. And I was like, well, what happened? He's like, well, you know, I didn't have money for it. And I was like, well, okay. I was like, well, you were going to take her on this date? And he said, well, I didn't save. You know, I just thought it'd be a great idea. And I told her we were going to go. And I was like, are you single? Are you single now? Like, how did that work out for you? And lo and behold, they broke up. So it was, we'll pray for that guy. But anyway, that happens, right? You've got good intentions. And because you don't prepare for it, your good intentions, like, you just fail to follow through because of lack of preparation, right? And I think that this carries over into our relationship with God. I think that as we're following Jesus, that we are people who have such great intentions in lots of areas of our life, that I have such good intentions to live a holy lifestyle, to follow after Jesus, to give him my all, to honor him with my lifestyle, right? We've got good intentions. We say, God, I'm going to follow you. All my heart is yours. My activity is yours. My thoughts are yours. Everything is for you. And I think that a lot of times, though, we find ourselves facing temptation and we find ourselves continuing to fall. There are certain areas of in our life, and I think we talked about a little bit of that tonight, you know, just the idea of worry and anxiety. Like, how many of us, then, when we go throughout the day, like, we know that the scriptures have called us to, God has called us to trust in him. He's called us to give us all of his heart, to trust him. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, or don't worry about what you're going to eat tomorrow. Don't worry about what's going to hold tomorrow. Like, there's enough worry there in that place. Like, don't do that, right? The scripture's very clear. We shouldn't do this, but we have good intentions to trust God. But then we find ourselves constantly with anxiety, constantly with worry, constantly find ourselves not trusting God. And it's like we get to this place, and some of us in the room, let's just be honest, we begin to feel hopeless in different areas. Because it's like, I have good intentions. I want to walk in the right way. I want to do the right thing. I want to be the best me I can be. And I find myself constantly losing to this particular temptation in my life. Is it comes knocking at my door and I fall time and time again. And some of us, we get frustrated, right? And so it's not just, you know, it's not just that. Sometimes it's just lying, right? Like, I know people who would just show up places and lie for no reason, right? They weren't trying to get out at anything. They weren't trying to, like, and they just love to lie, right? Like, I don't know. There was a season in my life where that was me. I'll just be honest. Before Jesus, I don't know what it was. I just love to lie. I don't know. Like, I would just be like, this is a good story. Let's make this up, right? I know people like that even now. And I'm like, what is the deal? But some of us, right, in the room, like, that's a real tension, is that we either get in trouble or we just want to be accepted. So we want to exaggerate a little bit. We want to do this. And, like, we find ourselves creating all this stuff and lying, even though we've got good intentions to follow Jesus, even though we've got good intentions to be the best we can be in Christ, right? To be this new you that he's created you to be. But then there's frustration. We feel trapped. We feel hopeless. It's like, God, how do we get out of this, right? Like, we talk about the big ones like lust and pornography and all the battles that people face day in and day out. And it's like, God, am I ever going to walk in freedom from this thing? And the reality is that a lot of us, we find ourselves in a place where we feel trapped, hopeless, and stuck. But here's the deal. I think that the biggest reason that we don't find freedom in the area of temptation in our life, like, I think the reason is because we've got really good intentions, but we fail to follow through because we don't prepare. Like, I think the biggest reason that we fall to temptation time and again when it comes knocking is because we haven't prepared ourselves to deal with it when it comes knocking against us. You see, scripture is very clear, right? Like it's important for us to have faith and freedom that God wants to set us free. But there are steps, there are things that God calls us to in scripture, in life, to walk in freedom over these things. He didn't just create a new you and say, okay, now just chill there and just be there. No, like there's activity that God has called us to, right? And this is why I'm so reminded of the original disciples for us. Like, when I look at my life, when I look at, you know, people that I pastor and people that I interact with, I'm sure all of us in here, like I'm reminded of the original disciples, because the original disciples, like these guys had some amazing intentions, right? I look at their lives and I see like Jesus, you've probably heard the story, right? Of Jesus eating the Last Supper, right? So they're all around there. They're all eating at the table. They're chilling. They're talking. They're having a great time. Communion was awesome, right? And then Jesus looks across the table and he looks at his people and he goes, okay, you're going to betray me. You are going to deny me and the rest of you are going to abandon me, right? And, you know, it's like, great. No chill, Jesus, right? Like, no, that's awesome. So it's like, and everyone's like, whoa, no. Jesus. No, like, what are you talking about, right? One guy, he's like, okay, I'm going to betray. He walks out. And the rest of them, right, are like, no, absolutely not. Like, we would die for you, Jesus. What are you talking about, right? And don't you hear good intentions? Like, don't you hear it in their voice? Like, God bless their hearts. Like, I know they weren't sitting there being like, yeah, we're going to do it. Like, yeah, Jesus, how did you know? I don't know how you knew, but we're taking off. And like, that wasn't the situation. Like, they were there with all of their heart, all of their mind, all of their strength. Jesus, we're yours. We're going to stick with you. We will not abandon you. We will follow you to death if necessary, right? This is what and I see that in disciples, right? So they're saying this to Jesus, like, no, we're with you to the very end. And I hear good intentions. And Jesus is like, all right, let's go to the garden. Let's go pray. Cause y'all are talking crazy. Let's just go to the garden. And they go to the garden and they start praying, right? And so here's what we see. We see Jesus, he invites them to start praying with him, and he goes off and he starts to pray and he says, listen, we're going to watch him pray and I need you to kind of stay up, pray with me because temptation is coming, trials are coming, and when they do, we have to be prepared. And so he begins to pray and Jesus goes to the garden. And what's amazing to me is even in this moment right here, Jesus himself, there's this moment of temptation to even bail on the will of God. There's a part of Jesus, even in the moment where he's going, God, is this really the only way that this needs to happen? And there's this moment of wrestling, this moment where temptation comes knocking. And it's important for us to understand temptation is not sin, right? Jesus was tempted in every way and still he did not sin, is what Hebrews tells us. So Jesus is in this moment where even temptation comes soliciting thoughts to him like, hey, maybe this isn't the only way to do this. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe there's something, a sidestep that you can take. And we find, excuse me. We find in this moment where Jesus is praying, he's preparing himself, he's watching, he's saying it's on the horizon, I know this is coming, and he goes back to his disciples, and these guys are just posted up on a tree somewhere, sleeping, right? Now, like me, like I love my sleep, I need like a tight 10, you know, like every night, I'm just like, I need like a tight 10, tight 12 sometimes, exaggeration, sorry, I lied. And so they're on this tree, and he comes back, and he's like, y'all, what are you doing? Like, Jesus was from the south, so he's like, y'all, What are you doing? Why are you sleeping? This is not the time to be sleeping. This is the time to be watching and praying. And his disciples keep shutting their eyes, getting tired, and finding themselves in this spot. And so here's what happens, right? In Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, this is what he says to him. Jesus looks at his disciples after finding them sleeping several times, and he says, stay alert, be in prayer so that you don't wander into temptation without even knowing that you're in danger. There's a part of you that is eager, ready for anything in God. But there's another part of you that is lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire. Jesus does not pull punches. So there's this part of you that is eager to serve God. There's a part of you where another translation might say that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's another part of you, though, that desires not to please God. There's a flesh that is a part of who you are, right? In this time, right? Before glorification in heaven, we are in the process of sanctification. We are in the process of the new you becoming a reality from inward to outward. And so Jesus is saying, listen, you've got to stay alert. You've got to be in prayer so that you don't wander into this temptation. And so the next thing that we see is Jesus, he says, all right, wake up. The time has come. He says, my betrayer is here. He's bringing me into the arms of my enemies. He's saying, time to go. And so the disciples, they wake up, and Jesus, all of a sudden, like everything goes crazy. Peter pulls out a sword, no chill as well, cuts a dude's ear off, goes nuts, right? Like the whole, can you see the scene? Like, it's amazing. All right. And Jesus is steady and he's ready. right? Temptation is coming, trials are coming, because this is what Jesus understood, is that trials and temptation are inevitable. Every day, every moment, every season, you will face them. They are coming. So Jesus says, watch, because in Jesus's understanding, I'm alert because I know what's coming. I know that these are on the horizon. I'm gonna pray so I can be ready. And here's what I love about what I see here, is you see Jesus is totally ready and he goes all the way to the cross and never wavers. Temptation comes against him to step outside the will of God in a moment in the garden. He begins to pray, an angel comes, that's pretty sweet. He begins to minister to him and build him up, right? As the disciples are praying, or sleeping, not praying, maybe praying in their sleep. And you see, he gets up and then he goes all the way to the cross. And even on the cross, there's temptation. Even while he's up on the cross and people are going, hey, why don't you come down from there? Hey, why don't you save yourself? Like, do you not think that that was tempting for Jesus? While nails are through his hands and while he's parched and he's been brutally beaten and God, his father, is about to deny him and turn away from him. Like, those are moments where temptation may creep in, where they're tempting him like, hey, just get off the cross. You don't need to do any of this. If you're God, save yourself. Like, if I was Jesus in that moment, I'd be like, all right, watch this. You know, like I would probably take them on that. I don't, that's why I'm not Jesus and he is. So, but can you understand, like there's a moment, but Jesus was ready. And why? Why was Jesus prepared? Because he watched and he prayed. And then we look at the disciples who didn't watch and pray. They were sleeping, not alert, not preparing themselves. And a moment came where enemies came, betrayers came, and they betrayed, they abandoned, they denied. Because they weren't ready. They weren't prepared. You see, they found themselves in this place where they're like, yeah, we've got really good intentions. God, we're with you, we're for you, whatever. The heart was right, the mind, it was right. But because they didn't take steps of preparation when temptation came knocking on the door to operate in fear instead of faith, they opted for the fear. They scattered, they ran, they abandoned Jesus, and they weren't ready. So as a result, right, we see this take place in their life. And here's what I think we see in Jesus's life. This is the example, right? And this is what I hope you take away with you tonight, is that preparation provides power over temptation. Preparation provides power over temptation in our life. That if you will pray by staying alert, by being in prayer, if you'll do that, right? If you'll do that in your life, then it will give you the power to overcome temptation in your life. You see, there's an activity that God calls us to. You are a new you. And he's saying, exercise that new you in these two ways. So he's saying, I don't want you to wander into temptation, right? And I think, I love the language he's using there. Like, I don't want you to wander off into this. Like, what does that look like? What does that mean? And so I took a little video online, and I just jacked it from online. I didn't create it, but I thought it was a perfect illustration and depiction of how we feel when it comes to temptation. So I want you to check out this video real quick. Like, don't you feel like when you're tempted in moments, like, doesn't it just feel like that? You're just like that little girl, like, I love the little, he's like kissing it, like rubbing it on his face. I'm just like, what in the world? Like, so this is to me, right? This is what wandering into temptation looks like, right? This is what James chapter 1 says, verse 14. Temptation comes not from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. And so this is what James says that wandering into temptation looks like. That there's a side of us, the flesh, that these temptations, they come from ourselves, the flesh, but then they also come from the tempter, right? Satan, his strategies, his lies. One of his strategies and weapons against us is temptation. I'm gonna try to solicit thoughts to your thinking. This is what he does, is he tries to plant thoughts, your flesh. There's thoughts that all of a sudden will solicit these certain thoughts or thinking to you, enticements, if you will, and it starts in the thoughts. This is how we wander into temptation, it starts in the thinking. And you begin to think a certain way, and you begin to think about that marshmallow, and you begin to think about how awesome that marshmallow would taste. And as you hesitate and you begin to stir those thoughts around, it's only a matter of time before that thinking becomes an affection of the heart, right? The thinking, you think on that thing, you think about that thing, and all of a sudden it grabs the heart. And what grabs the heart, what gets lodged in the heart, becomes a manifestation in your life. It becomes a reality in your life. That's what the Bible says, that out of the heart flows the issues or the direction of your life. So as we see these little kids, right, it's kind of cute and funny and nice, but like, this is what temptation looks like for all of us. Is that there's these moments where you're like, man, that looks so good, and I just love that, and I just want that, and all of a sudden, like, you're thinking, and you're thinking, and you're thinking, because the flesh or the enemy has solicited thoughts to you. And because you didn't think about what you were thinking about, that thought eventually became lodged in the heart, and what got lodged in the heart became a reality in your life. This is the process of temptation and sin in our life. And this is what happens to all of us as we go, oh gosh, like how did I even get to this place? I don't even realize. And these are people, and Jesus is saying, I don't want you to wander into that. Because if you wander into that moment, you begin to hesitate, it's only a matter of time before you participate. And this is what Jesus is showing, not Jesus is showing through the little kids. I showed you through the little kids, but this is what Jesus is meaning. And so there's really two things, and right, this I want to close with tonight, is there's two things that I want to really take home. And this is the two things that Jesus said, is number one is stay alert. So what do we do in these moments of temptation? What do we do to overcome? Well, staying alert is the first thing that Jesus said to do to the disciples. He's like, you need to stay alert in this area. And here's what I love about the language here is that to stay alert, he's talking about like a person who would guard something at nighttime. That's the language they're talking about here. It's like someone who would be watching a palace, or you're in the tower, but it's at a nighttime season. It's not in the daytime. And here's what that says to me is that there's required a super focus, that there's got to be like this laser sharp focus. There's got to be this intensity into your guarding, into being alert, because there's things that in the daytime that you just can't see at nighttime. And so as a guard time watchman, you've got to be so ready. You've got to be so sober minded. You've got to be so alert, right? Jesus is using that language. He's saying for your generation, for you, right, you need to wake up and be alert, because temptation is coming. Temptation and trials are inevitable. And when we face hard things, we often get tempted to do crazy things in the middle of it. You have a hard day at work, all of a sudden you want to come home and watch something you wouldn't have watched before. You get broken up with, and all of a sudden you're making moves and decisions that you wouldn't have made before. But we face trials in life, and it's in those moments that we face temptations when those trials come. Temptation to look, to feel a little bit better, to feel a buzz in a moment, to feel a little bit better about ourselves. And so it's important for us to guard ourselves, to stay alert. Guard yourself. And one of the best ways that we can do that is know your triggers. Like, know what triggers temptation in your life. I'll just be honest. For me, I know when I'm exhausted. Like, I know when I'm physically exhausted, when I am emotionally drained, when I've just been giving out and I have not taken a day off. Like, that's when I'm susceptible to temptation in my life. I know this about myself. Man, it was funny. I was at Starbucks one day, because we don't have Dunkin' Donuts, and I'm with my wife, and we're talking across the table, and I just knew it. I showed up, I was drained, I was not in a good mood, and I was just not being the new me, right? And I sit down, and all of a sudden our conversation turns into a little argument, right? We'll just say it's a little argument. So we're back and forth, we're in a public place, and in the middle of all of this, right, I just get this crazy thought. I'm like, you know what? I need a new MacBook. I need to go buy a new MacBook right now. And totally random. And my wife looks at me, she goes, Mark, well, that's not in the budget right now. So no, we just can't do that. That's not going to happen right now. I'm like, I don't care. No, I want a new MacBook, right? All of a sudden, this thought just came in my mind, like, this would make me feel good. If I just went and bought something that's nice, right? If I just went out and bought something new, it would make me feel good in a moment, right? And that was temptation. If I'm not feeling good, I'm not in the right spot, I just feel whatever, and I just want to buy something to make me feel better. People do that all the time. I'm going to go buy something new, a new car, new clothes. And then they get home and they're like, this was a very bad decision, right? So, but that's why you need a wife from Texas, because she will tell you, listen, this is a bad move, don't do this. And praise God, we didn't do it. But I had a moment where even there, like, but here's the thing, is I know my triggers. Like, I've begun to study myself, and it's important that you know you. Know how you operate, know how the enemy comes against you, know what things that, you know, so maybe a trigger for you is a certain place. Maybe there's a place that you just need, like, man, I need to get away from there. Whenever I'm there, I compromise. Whenever I get into this place, like, it's never a good idea. Like, maybe there's just certain places for you in this season, right? As God is developing you and pulling you, you know, like, maybe the place you need to be in, a place like the Bridge, you need to be a place here in community where you can be built up and you can be established. And there's places that you just can't go right now, right? Like, for me, I battled alcohol in my life for years. Before I got saved, I was an alcoholic. 6-7 nights a week for years, I was drunk. I couldn't go without it. I was dependent on alcohol in my life. And there were moments, like, and God set me free, and he pulled me, and he made me a new you, which was awesome, right? He developed me, and he pulled me in. I got discipled. I got into community. That's what I love about this young adult ministries is that actually changes lives, right? Life change takes place, and that's what's amazing, right? And so my life was changed, but it's crazy. About a month ago, I'm in Tucson, Arizona. I was preaching at a young adult ministry there. And I'm flying back. I miss my flight. I'm drained. I was traveling with another guy. We get, you know, he's got to take this flight. And I'm just like stuck waiting in Tucson. And I'm like, what do I even do in Tucson? And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching a game as I'm sitting at my gate. And I'm watching this game that's in a bar. And all of a sudden this thought hits me. Hey, you should grab a beer. I was like, what the? I was like, what? Like, and I'm like, where did that come from, right? And in that moment, here's what I knew, is that I was in a place, I just knew I need to get up right now. And I was just, you know, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do that. I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know. It hit me. And all of a sudden there's these thoughts where like, is it a sin? Is it not a sin? All of a sudden all these thoughts. And here's what I knew. If I start hesitating with this, there's a good chance I might participate. And so just being honest with you, right? In a moment, temptation hits me. And I'm like, I got to get up. I got to get out of here. And so I get my butt up from Seagate and I walk to B16 and I go down and I planted myself there and I waited with no game and no TV, whatever, pray for me. And I'm sitting there and I was like, I'm going to wait for my flight over here. For some of you in the room, this is what we have to do. Is maybe right now you're in a place in life where you're just like, I can't go there. Like, you've got to make some pre-decisions in your life. If I get invited here, I just can't go there. If you wait to get into a place of high temptation and you're going to make your decision then what you're going to do, you're toast, right? You've got to make some pre-decisions and you're saying, I'm not showing up to that place. I'm not doing that. So maybe that's a trigger for you. Know your triggers, right? Maybe it's a person in your life. Maybe there's some people that aren't uplifting you and they're just pulling you in a wrong direction. You know, maybe that's just not a healthy thing for you right now and you're not hanging out with people who are encouraging you to walk after the Lord. And there's just people that you're like, man, like whenever I get around that person, and I talk to young adults all the time, we're like, man, well, like Jesus, you know, like he hung out with like sinners, right? Like he, you know, he did that. I'm like, well, you know, he did, but he didn't sin with them. You know what I mean? He wasn't doing that, right? So you got to understand, people are like, don't be like a Pharisee on me, bro. Like, don't be doing that. And I'm like, no, that's not what this is about. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to save you. I'm trying to pull you in the right direction, right? And so we find this taking place in our life is that we have to know the triggers. Is it a place? Is it a person? Is it a time? When does temptation really get a hold of you? When are the times that you find yourself falling over and over? Because Jesus would say, be alert, right? So we do that, right? We know the triggers. Second way we do that, 2 Corinthians tells us in chapter 10, verse 5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from the knowledge of God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and we teach them to obey Christ. Right? So here's the important thing is what we think about is what we care about. And what we care about is what we chase. What you think about on a continual basis, it will grab the heart and you will care about that. And then what you care about, you will chase after. So one of the best things that we can do to stay alert and prepare ourselves to be ready is to put the words of God and the thoughts of God in our hearts and in our minds on a daily basis. He said that we tear down everything that would raise itself up against the knowledge of God. But if you don't have the knowledge of God and the word of God in you on a daily basis, you find yourself not knowing what is counterfeit when it comes across. You've probably heard the illustration, what they do with a banker, right? When they say, hey, we want you to understand what's counterfeit coming across this counter. And so we're not going to show you a bunch of counterfeit bills. We're going to give you the true thing. And we want you to look at that thing day in and day out until you see it's, and you just study the true thing, the right thing. And as you do, you understand what is counterfeit when it comes across. So when you put the word of God in you daily, you're preparing yourself. You're staying alert so that when something comes across your way, you're like, that's a lie. Nope, that's not true. No, that's not right. You're not enough. You're not this. You should compare yourself with that person. You should go over here and do that. It's like, nope, that's not the truth. That's not right. And so this is a way you stay alert. You stay clean. You stay ready, right? John 17 and Ephesians 5 say this one thing. They both say this, is that the water of the word will wash over you and will cleanse your soul. And this is what I love about that. And so this is why it's so important because, you know, I got these Converse, right? They're a little dirty right now, right? But I love these white Converse. I wear them all the time. But I remember when I first bought them, Converse fans in the house? Yeah, a couple? No? Come on, somebody. I love my Converse, right? I got them. And here's the craziest thing. I remember one day I'm getting out of my car. I just bought them. Like, I just got them. I'm getting out of the car. And my door comes swinging back, and it hits my hand where my coffee is. You could probably tell I drink a lot of coffee. And the coffee spills on my brand new white Converse, right? God is my witness. It was disaster, right? I'm in the parking lot yelling. Like, I'm in the parking lot, like, just like, no, my Converse, right? And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I almost left work that day to wash them. Like, it was that bad. I'm a little crazy. So I get into the office and it's like, whatever, right? But then I went to Peru a couple weeks ago and I wore these to there. And here's what I realized is that while I'm out there, I'm, you know, kicking a soccer ball around. I'm on the soccer field and we're playing in the dirt and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, the first day they get just totally wrecked. Like, they're totally dirty. And day two and day three and day four. And here's what I realized is that by day four and five and six, like, I didn't care. Like, I didn't even care how much dirt got on them. I didn't care how dirty they got. And here's the thing. It's the same thing with your soul. Is that when you're in a place where the water of the word is washing over you on a continual basis and it's clean and it's white and it's just, you become sensitive to dirty things that touch it, right? That coffee drip got on my white shoes and I freaked out because I was sensitive to it. And you get to a place where it's where dirt piles up in your life and you're not allowing the water of the word to wash over your soul. You find yourself in a place where you just don't really care anymore. What's another movie like this? What's another song like that? What's another hangout like that? It just doesn't really even matter anymore, does it? And so when you put the water of the word washing over you on a daily basis, that's what happens. It cleans you and it makes you sensitive. And this is a way that you stay alert in your life. So my second point for you, and this is what we'll close out with, is that he says, be in prayer. Be in prayer in your life. Is that number one, you've got to stay alert, right? Know what triggers, right? Be alert by getting into the word on a daily basis. Allow that water to wash over you so that you're sensitive to the temptations and things in your life. Know what's truth, right? And then he says, be in prayer. And for two reasons, because number one is that prayer strengthens your spirit, right? Didn't he say that there's a side of you that is eager to please God? And so when you become a person of prayer, you become a person that is building yourself up on your most holy faith. This is what Jude says, pray in the spirit at all times, build yourself, build that inner man, that side of you that longs to serve God, that side of you that longs to be connected to God, that side of you that says, I want to serve God, that side of good intentions. Like, you've got to build that side up in prayer. You begin to pray in the spirit. You begin to pray God, pray God's word over your life. You pray, you pray, you pray. You get into a habit of prayer in your life. And as you begin to do this, you find yourself walking in strength. The reason that Jesus was able to say no to temptation when it came against him wasn't just because he was the son of God. It was because he was alert and he was prayed up. He was strengthened. And because he was strengthened, he was like, no, good, I'm full. Like, I'm full of the spirit. I don't need that. Like, when this comes walking by me, I'm good. I don't need that anymore. I'm full. Like, I'm full of the spirit. I don't need that in my life, because he was praying and he was prayed up. And here's the reality is that what you feed in your life will continue to grow, and what you starve will die. So for some of us in the room, maybe you need to commit to just a season of fasting and prayer. Like, maybe you need to take one day a week and say, I'm fasting lunch and I'm going to pray during this time. Here's what I love about fasting and prayer is that it continues to help you exercise your no muscle. That's kind of how I like to say it. Is that there's like this no muscle that when cravings come, even just to eat, when you go, no, I'm gonna hold off on lunch and I'm gonna pray right now. You're training yourself, even physically, to say no to cravings. But that physical discipline eventually will carry into spiritual disciplines in your life. You're training your no muscle. So when something comes against you, you're like, nope, I don't need that. Nope, I just know to say no to that craving because it's not right. But some of us have a hard time just saying no to any craving that comes our way. And so Jesus is saying, yes, I've made a new you, but right now it's important for you to understand this is how you operate and you exercise into that new you. You've got to get the new you to come out to the outside. That's how Christianity works. He does a new work in you, and then he pulls it to the outside. And that's what we're trying to do here, right? So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is that prayer invites God into the moment. Prayer invites God into the moment. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, verse 12. It says, if you think that you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. The temptation in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. Awesome news. And he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. And I love this, and I love what Pastor Craig Rochelle is. He says that temptation should always be an invitation to run to God. Is that temptation should always be that cue of an invitation. It's time to turn my eyes on him. Right here, I love what the Puritans say. The Puritans used to say this back in the day. They said the only way that you can take something out of your heart that is beautiful is to replace it with something that is more beautiful. Something that has lodged in the heart that you're just like, man, that's so amazing and so good is you've got to turn your eyes and your affections towards something that is more beautiful. And can I just like, this is what has helped me day in and day out. Like for me, man, I was an addict in so many different areas of my life. Like, I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was angry. I was full of lust. My life was completely rock bottom and a mess. I didn't know how to say no to temptation. I had the truth. People had talked to me about Jesus and told me about the word of God and all the kind of stuff, but it wasn't reality for me. And I found myself in this place where temptation was just normal for me. I just bought into everything. And I found myself in this place where, man, temptation, it kind of solicits and entices you with this on the front end that, man, this is what you want. This is good. And it's this fulfilling something outside of the will of God. But temptation doesn't tell you about the back end. Like, temptation it's not as sexy in the back end. Like, it's not as sexy in the abortion room or when you're left alone and you're crying at night or when you're hungover or when you're like, it doesn't say all that. Like, it just says, like, this is what you want right here. And you buy into that, but it doesn't tell you how it ends. And I found myself at 17, right? Finding myself in this place where I'm partying with this person and trying this, and it was fun and it was nice and it was whatever. And, you know, I'm hanging out with this crew, even though I'm probably not a good idea. And I find myself 6 years later, I'm being kicked out of the college I'm attending. I'm kicked off the sports teams. All of a sudden, I'm going back. I find myself going into harder drugs, and I'm hooked on cocaine and heroin. And I find myself in March of 2008 in a crack house, strung out, OD'd on the bathroom floor. And I'm laying there, and I'm thinking to myself, I know I should probably cry out to God in this moment, but I was too prideful. I didn't want to do it. All of my friends left me right there. All left the house. I left there after a three-day binger. I recover from that time, and I my sister, who had, you know, at that point, she was recovered, and some people out of Victory Christian Center, they were traveling ministers, and they came through our local church up there, and someone invited her back to the church. God touched her in that moment and healed her of a lot of things in her own life, that she would deal with self-hate, and she would cut herself. She was suicidal. She was in a mental institution for a while. And really just a mess in a lot of ways. And we found ourselves getting to these places, and we didn't think we'd end up there, but temptation solicited thoughts and enticement. And we let those thoughts become affections, and we let those affections become realities. And as a result, we found ourselves in places that we never wanted to be in. And so I found myself in this place, right? But in March of 2008, this takes place. And in April of 2008, someone invited me to go to Tulsa, right? I didn't even know where Tulsa was. I was like, I think it's somewhere. You know, I'm from Pennsylvania, Scranton, Pennsylvania. I lived in Philadelphia for a while, and yes, The Office, right? So just throw that out there. That's what we're famous for. And I come down, I visit, and it's an amazing time. It's great. And I encountered God. And this is what they taught me, is that, Mark, you've got to learn in moments of temptation is how do you invite God into the moment? Is when all of a sudden there's this want for this thing, and there's this thing that you kept giving yourself to. But in those moments, how do you turn and allow that temptation to be an invitation to invite God into the moment? And so here's what I've learned is that, man, I can't do it on my own. Is that I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. I can't do it without Jesus. And so he says here is that I will show you the way out. And here's all I know is that God will show you the way. But also all I know this is that Jesus is the way. Right? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so I just start turning. I say, God, like right now, this is what I'm feeling. God, I'm tempted. And this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm tempted to do. But right now I'm putting my eyes, and I physically say this out loud, right? I look like a crazy guy driving down the road sometimes, right? But I'm just like, this is what I'm feeling. This is, and I need you right now, Jesus, in this moment, because I'm tempted, but you give me strength. In my weakness, Lord, you be strong. And right now, and in those moments, I invite him into the moment. And when you invite him into the moment, all of a sudden your eyes, they turn from something that seems so beautiful, and they turn to Jesus. And it's in that moment you find out he's so much more beautiful. And can I tell you this, is that that's where you get a revelation of God's grace. Man, we talk about grace, we read about grace, but it's in the moments where you actually access by prayer and faith that you understand, wow, this is what God's grace, and that's an invitation for you. Man, if you will turn and understand that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus, this is, you've made me a brand new person in the face of temptation. That reality, that truth begins to unlock the eyes of your heart. And in that moment, it strengthens you and gives you a graciousness that allows you to step through and through things that you were tempted with or you were falling in. And it's in that moment of saying, God, I need you right here and right now. So for me, you know, that was my journey through this. And it was a process, right? Philippians 1:6 says this. It says, and I am certain that God who began the good work within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So here's what this telling me, is that God is not finished yet. And I think there's some of us right here in the room, you're just like, yeah, but I struggle right now. Like in this day, this week, tonight, whatever it is, you feel like I struggle, but God is not finished with you yet. And that's what I had to realize, is that even in my process of being discipled, in my process of allowing God's grace and his love to work in my life, to heal me and fix me and make me free. And so for years now, I haven't touched alcohol. For years now, I haven't smoked anything. For years now, I haven't, like, there's freedom that I found in my life because I put this into practice, and it's not because of my works. It's because I just trusted in what he's asked me to do. And I've learned how to access him in moments of temptation. Jesus was prepared because he accessed the Father when temptation was coming. We have to be people of prayer. We have to be people who are not just coasting through life and be like, yeah, when it shows up, I'll just be ready. That's not how it works. You've got to live with an intentionality right now. I'm prepared and I'm ready. And so when temptation comes, I'll be strong and I'll go through it. I won't fall to it. That's what we see in the life of Jesus, in the life of the disciples. And so here's what I want to encourage you with, is that he's not finished with you. And I am certain of this. He started a good work in you, and he's going to continue it to completion. So as you're walking through this process, it's okay. But my challenge for you tonight is that maybe there's some areas for you. Maybe there's some spots. And let's do this. Let's just close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And I just feel led by the Holy Spirit. Let's just take a moment right here, right now.